Hey, I want to tell you about a new mini course that I have. It's called the 5-Minute Shift. One of the most frequent questions that I get from people on social media and clients is, how do I stop feeling anxious? How do I stop feeling upset? How do I stop feeling angry at my spouse? How do I stop feeling a certain way and get to something that feels better? This mini course is to answer that question. It's a 30-minute video. You get a cheat sheet and the slides, plus a Q&A and a why this works video. But really all you need is the 30-minute video, the how-to. It's a process I use every single day, multiple times a day. I have clients who use it and have experienced huge changes in their life. And if you practice this method over and over again, I promise you'll be able to shift any emotion in around 90 seconds to about 5 minutes. So if you're somebody who feels like you get stuck in emotions, you stew in emotions, you spiral in them, and you really wish that you could get out of them and it didn't involve scrolling or eating or shopping or any of that, this is for you. It's $29. There's a link in the show notes, and I hope you enjoy it. Welcome back to Calmer Conversations, the podcast where you learn how to help your brain become a calmer place to be so that it's easier to feel exactly how you want to feel in your daily life. Whether that's feeling calm and confident, content, or even joyful, or just like you've done enough of the right things at the end of the day, or all of the above. I'm Cecilia Mandrick. I'm a certified life coach, yoga therapist, and founder of the Calm Brain Academy. If you're ready to shift the patterns of self-sabotage, procrastination, daily overwhelm, people-pleasing, and perfectionism, you're in the right place. Not only is it possible to change the conversation between your brain and your body, when you do, you'll change your life in the process. And you're one step closer just by joining me today. Ready? Let's dive in. Hey, and welcome to Calmer Conversations. I'm Cecilia, your host. Today, we're going to talk about dropping the binary right-wrong thinking and living a little bit more into ambiguity. First, let's do a moment of centering and landing wherever you are, even if you're driving or walking, whether you're sitting on a couch or in a chair. You might take a few breaths. You might feel your sits bones in the seat or your feet on the ground, both. You might close your eyes or soften your gaze or bring your focus a little bit more inwards. You might place a hand on your body if that feels right. You might take a few intentional breaths, maybe making a sigh or sound for the exhale. And as you take these breaths with each inhale, you might notice what is present for you. And as you breathe out, you might see if you might let go or if you might just be with whatever is there. Without judging it, without needing to make anything happen, noticing what is showing up for you. And as you take these breaths and as you land here, you might in fact ask yourself, what is it that I need today or how do I want to show up for myself? And see what comes up for you. And then as you feel ready, you might yawn or stretch, wiggle, blink your eyes, come back to the present moment. Okay. We've been taught, I've been taught, I was taught to look for certainty, right? You were likely taught to look for certainty. But I want to offer that perhaps clarity comes from learning to hold the both and instead of the either or, instead of trying to do everything right. Okay. Most of us have been taught to see things in black and white. And I don't even like black and white. We're going to say most of us is, I like the zero one, right? So most of us have been trained to see things as on off, as zero ones, success, failure, good, bad, right, wrong, either or. But the truth is that most of our life is in the gray and there's so much less right or wrong than you might think. And this comes up all the time in group coaching. If this is something that you're working with, just know that you're not alone. So your brain craves certainty because for your brain, certainty means safety. And safety means you get to continue living and you often will not face pain or danger or things like that. And so giving yourself certainty is, or trying to give yourself certainty is a big priority of your brain. This is why your brain tries to predict the future so much, right? By worrying about things or thinking things out, because it's trying to create certainty in what is a very sort of uncertain life that we live. when we were children, most of us, and I cannot speak for you exactly, but I will speak for myself and a lot of my clients, and that when I was growing up, we received a lot of messages. This is what a good girl does. This is what a good boy does. This is what a bad boy does. This is what a good boy does. This is what a right choice looks like. This is what a wrong choice looks like. And we're rewarded for these both very intentionally and consciously and subconsciously, right? So people are sending these messages, adults generally, society, media are sending messages about what's right or wrong, very like through everything that we consume. And this is, my kids don't consume a lot of media, so we're generally a screen-free household. But we do read books and they do live in the world. And it is amazing to me how pervasive these messages are, right? And what a good girl is supposed to be, or a pretty girl, or whatever it is that the messaging that they're receiving. So you likely, unless you grew up in a very, very special place, you likely received a lot of this, even inadvertently, through the world you lived in. And some of us received a lot of it, particularly if we were in certain religious settings or certain parts of society or communities, that we received a lot of, this is what you're supposed to do to be good. And a lot of us, particularly if you're an overachiever, associated success and achievement with goodness as well. But the truth is that binary thinking, while it is efficient, it limits your self-trust, it limits your creativity, it limits your capacity to regulate yourself, to look internally, to feel fulfilled. And if you've been listening and paying attention, you know that fulfillment has to come from within you. It has to come from feeling whole yourself, not from anything that happens outside of you. So a lot of times in coaching work, people want to know like the right way. They want to know, is something normal? They want to know how to get to the end. And very often what we think of with this binary thinking is that when we are quote unquote good, or we are successful, or we are finally pretty, or we're finally whatever it is that we think we want to be, then we will feel good. And so that we're thinking like there's this destination that very often is associated with this 101 thinking, on, off, here, there, is that when we are good, then we will receive all that is good in the world, right? If this week I manage to eat correctly and exercise right and say the right things at the work meeting, then I will arrive to some promised land and I will then feel and be good. But the truth is that life is not a test. You're not being graded. It took me so long to learn this. And there are so many different ways of doing things right. Mary Oliver has this line in a poem that's probably too long of a poem for me to read here, but it's that there are many lives worth living, right? And there are many right ways of doing things. I used to say this like a prayer to myself every morning as I was doing yoga. And one of the lines in this prayer, it was kind of like a remembering rather than perhaps a prayer, but they were these things that I was trying to kind of remember myself, and I was trying to undo and redo a lot of thinking. And this line is, my way is not the right way. I do not know the whole story. Everyone is climbing their own mountain. Right. So that was like one section of this thing that I said to myself is, I'll say it again, is that my way is not the right way. I do not know the whole story. Everyone is climbing their own mountain. And this was to remind myself that I can look at somebody and even myself, and I can judge myself in that moment, or I can open myself up to not actually knowing the truth. And while that feels really uncomfortable, or knowing what's right or what's wrong or who's good or who's bad, it actually allows me to live in this place of nuance and compassion and growth. And that's oftentimes where we want to be. And I said before that fulfillment comes within, from within ourselves, not from without, right? It doesn't come because we have reached some magical land, right? We got the right degree, we got the right job, we have the right family, we have the right car, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Those are all well and good, right? Like, please go get the job that you want to get, that you feel called to get, but don't do it because you think it's going to complete you. Don't live a life of checking boxes, thinking that checking those boxes is going to get you to happiness, or to even okayness or goodness within yourself, right? Those things, those feelings of goodness, of happiness, of joy, don't come because you checked a list of boxes outside of yourself. They come because you've created those feelings yourself. And in fact, when you can let go of this 0-1 thinking, this binary thinking, either or, that's actually when you get to live in the juiciness of life and when you get to experience these things like more trust and more compassion, more growth. Because two things, honestly, can be true at once. And we're taught this. I think our parents also model it to us, too, a lot of times. We're taught that it's either or, right? You're good or bad. But the truth is that you can feel scared about something and you can be ready to move forward. You can be unsure and still move forward. You can love somebody and set a boundary. You can love your body and still decide that you want to work out, right? You can, a lot of these things can happen both and. I think one of the things that this, that saying that those lines over and over again for so many years did for me in retraining my brain is that it actually gave me a sense of freedom that we don't have when we live in this binary place, this freedom to be myself and choose my own path. When I was in the binary, I had an opinion about everything. I had an opinion about what was right, what was wrong, what you should be doing, how you should be doing it. I spent a lot of time in righteous indignation and in judgment of myself and others. And this isn't a very comfortable place to be, but I was there. And I was there because I thought that if I could do things right, then I would be happy. And if I could get everyone to do things, quote unquote, right around me, then I would also be happier. Life would be better and easier. But the truth is that takes a lot of work. It never actually works, right? You can never actually control the people or the things around you entirely. And it often left me feeling like I'd come up short every single day because no matter how hard I tried, I could never be this unrealistic, perfect, good version of myself. And in fact, even when I did things, if I did manage to do everything within a day that I thought that I was supposed to be doing, then I recognized that happiness didn't come from doing all of the things, right? Even if I managed to use my willpower and force to check all the boxes, I wasn't often happy at the end of the day. But when I let go of this, when I was able to recognize that there is no right way, that there are many right ways, in fact, there's no one right way. And that, in fact, I rarely know the whole story of anything that's going on around me. I stepped into this ambiguity, and then there's a lot of freedom to choose. There's a lot of freedom to ask, okay, well, what is next for me? Or how do I want to show up today? Or what might I need in this moment? And I started to ask a lot more questions. And then suddenly things feel different, right? So what if there could be one, more than one right answer? What if there was not one right way to happiness? There was one, not one right way. This came up very recently with two different clients about recovering, right? And recovering the right way. And they both had pretty major surgeries and thought that there was some like right path, some right way to do recovery, some right combination of like watching shows and reading books and engaging with other things, that if they got the combination right, then they would suddenly, I don't know, maybe get like a gold star for recovering correctly, or they would recover better or faster, whatever it is. And certainly with each surgery, there are probably things you should and shouldn't do to aid in physical recovery, but there is no right recovery path for every single person. So I'm just going to leave you, because I don't think there is actually a right answer, but I'm going to leave you to start to notice where you get stuck in the zero and one thinking in your life. Where do you get stuck in righteous indignation? Where are you noticing internal statements that sound like I should do this, or the right way is to do this, or if I do this, then I will feel this way? Where in your life are you craving or insisting on certainty? And what might it look like if you softened? So for instance, if you're looking for a new career path, what might it look like if you paused and you said, I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I do know that I'm interested in taking this course, or I do know I'm interested in reading this book. What if I trust in myself and in the universe around me that if I start taking steps in the right direction, I will continue to be guided in the direction, right? If I start to listen to myself and ask myself what I need in this moment and believe that if I start to work with that, then things will work for me differently. I don't have to force things. I don't have to do them a right way to end up someplace. I actually can start to feel that way now, and I can trust that things will lead me where I need to do. So you might take my lines for my little prayer that I had, right? There is no right way. But you could also start to ask yourself, or to start to say things like, It's okay if I don't know the right way, or maybe there isn't a right way right now. I wonder what a next step is for me, or I wonder how I could start to move forward. Or if I was leading with how I wanted to feel, what might I do in this moment, or how could I cultivate that emotion right now? The truth is, working with your brain has a lot more nuance than certainty. It asks you to open things up and to believe and trust yourself in a different way. But the very amazing thing is that I see over and over again with clients is that we start to land in this trust instead of contriving and forcing things. Not only does life flow in a more organic way, but it actually feels so much better. So we think the certainty is what we want and what's going to make us feel good and safe. And part of our brain really believes that. But the truth is that if you're willing to step outside of that 0 to 1, if you're willing to live in the ambiguity, then things can start to feel really juicy and amazing by being in that space. Okay. If this is something you want to do, if you want some guidance on having more ambiguity in your life, get in touch, reach out. Let's talk about joining the Life Lab or coaching one-to-one. See what these options might look like for you. Because again, if you are enjoying these episodes, if you feel called to do this work, there's a good chance that you're a good fit to work with me. Thank you so much for being here today. It was a pleasure to be with you. Reach out, come say hi. Let me know what you like or what you want more of. And I will talk to you next time.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Calmer Conversations. Take what you learned today and use it in your life. Even if it feels a little awkward or clumsy at first, remember these are practices and that real change comes from implementation. Then send me a message over on Instagram or TikTok and let me know what worked or didn't work. If you want to dig deeper into something from today's episode, all of the resources can be found at the link below in the show notes. If you like this episode, there's a great chance that you'll love working with me. Join my monthly coaching community by visiting me on Instagram or my website, www.ceciliabmandrick.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts, and I'll see you back here next Thursday.